Thank you, Pastor Sutton. It was definitely a surprise and a delight to meet the Suttons, three of them, in Phoenix. Had a good time there, and the Lord has His way of working things out just in the right place in the right moment. For those that were not part of the Sunday school hour, we're the Chilando family, and we are missionaries out of Hillcrest Baptist Church in El Paso, Texas. El Paso, Texas, those of you that may be familiar with military, has a big base there, Fort Bliss, but it's right at the border with Mexico. And we've been there in El Paso since 2008. Where I served on staff there as an associate. And we were sent, or rather have been sent out of Hillcrest Baptist Church and left for Zambia in 2014. Well, before I get carried away talking, let me introduce my family. This is always one of those things. You know, there's a sign up here that says, don't forget the mic. It says, don't forget your family. My family is sitting there right there. I'm going to ask you guys to stand up so that they can see you. Okay, so you have my wife there, and then you have Gabby, and there's Caroline, there's Hannah, there's Jenna, and there's Isaiah on the end. Okay, if you want to remember them, you guys can sit down. You have Caroline, okay, and then you have Gabby, Hannah, Isaiah, and Jenna. So C, G-H-I-J. I'm a preacher, even when it comes to family. Amen? So, we've been sent out of Hillcrest Baptist Church in El Paso, Texas. We've been in Zambia since 2014. We are currently on furlough, looking to raise back 20% of our support in support that we lost for various reasons. But the Lord, of course, I know that the Lord sent us there, and the Lord has provided that support already. We just have to show up and, present our ministry. We are thankful for that and have faith in that taking place. We are in the capital city of Zambia, which is Lusaka. Lusaka has about 4 million people there. If you get to Lusaka in Zambia, there's a lot of Pentecostal churches and Jehovah's Witness and the Seventh-day Adventists, very big. Catholics, of course, and then there is, of course, the I would say the mother of all the churches, the United Church of Zambia, the Church of England, that is there, but very few Baptist churches, very few Baptist, and in that sense, very few independent Baptist churches, or shall we say, KJV, Independent Baptist Churches, okay? So we're right in the heart of the city. We're right in the heart of the city, right in the mix. We have a bunch of colleges around us. There is a lot of work to do. I see young people in here, and I will say this, and I like to say this, if God is calling you in the mission field, call me, and maybe I might just pray the Holy Spirit bring you to Zambia. There is great work that needs to be done. Zambia is open to the preaching of the gospel. You're not going to get restrictions as far as going into schools or going into the hospital, going into the prison, going anywhere. You just go anywhere. You can get on a bus and start preaching. And people are not going to stop you because they're afraid if they stop you, the bus might wreck. So you just keep preaching. And so it's just wonderful what's going on, the opportunity that is there in Zambia. Of course, getting in might be a little tricky. You know, the government doesn't just hand out permits or work permits for you to be in the country. They want you to team up with an already existing missionary. So we're there. It's okay. You can come. We'll get you in. All right, so we praise the Lord for you already. I don't know if there's one here the Holy Spirit is talking to. Hopefully by the end of the day, that you might have confirmed that with him. All right, so we're looking forward to what God is going to do in Zambia. We're delighted to be here, Bethel Baptist Church. You know, preacher, we're not going to forget this church. There's a couple ladies that showed up with a big old basket at our door, full of I mean, goodies. I mean, the kids just love it. I mean, cookies, all kinds of stuff. I mean, all that nice sugar stuff that keeps you up. You know, it's just wonderful. We're delighted that we're here and what a scenic drive, huh? It's just a scenic drive. I couldn't fall asleep because so many things to see, all the trees and all that stuff. We're from the desert, huh? We're from the desert, so it was wonderful driving up here and just enjoying the moment. Looking forward to get to meet all of you and what the Lord is going to do here this morning. We'll get to hear a little bit more about the mission field and what God is doing there. Maybe get to see the video. You can ask me any questions that you may have about Zambia, and we'll be able to explain that to you. Well, this morning we're going to be in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6 in your Bible. And we're going to look at verse 6 to verse 11. This is a message that I believe God, or the scripture that God put in His Word, that is universal in the sense that anybody, anywhere gets to understand the application that is put in the Bible here concerning the end, you know. And so we'll get to see here Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6. We're going to read from verse 6 to verse 11. It says here, "Go to the end, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach your word to your wonderful people here. Lord, I pray that you may open our hearts and our mind, Lord, to the teaching of your word. Speak to us now. Quiet our hearts, Lord, from all the affairs of the day and all the events that will take place, to focus on you this moment, to hear from you as you speak to us according to your will. I thank you for this opportunity that you've given me to be able, Lord, to stand in this pulpit and share what you've laid on my heart with these your wonderful people. I thank you and praise you now through Christ the Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Well, when we talk about the ant, it is very interesting that when you do some research on the ant is one, if not the only creature that one visibly sees that can be found anywhere in the world. Whether you are out in the Arctic or in the desert or in the jungles, or wherever it is you are, there is going to be the ant. And the Lord says, go to the ant. He knew that if you were in north, west, south, central, wherever it is, and you read this, you'd know exactly what he was talking about. Isn't that wonderful? Another thing we know about the ant here, just a couple facts, is that the ant can carry about 50 times its own body weight. I don't know if you can do that, okay? But it can carry 50 times its own body weight. The other thing is it can run about 300 meters per hour, which is about 800 times faster than the fastest person can run. I mean, we're talking about some pretty amazing little creature. And according to the Word of God, okay, which was not written because of the science or research that was done here, we see that the Word of God refers to the ant as her. The worker ant is female. And they have done a research on the ant, and they have realized that the worker ant is female. How did the people that wrote the Bible know that? Well, God
and we're thankful for that. Okay, so we get to see here in God's word about the ant. It says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Okay, now, of course, we get to understand what a sluggard is, but let's focus on the ant just a little bit. First thing we know about the ant is ants, or ants, plural, work together. I don't know if you've ever seen, I mean, you have probably, but if you see an ant by itself, it's probably trying to find its way or doing some, you know, reconnaissance or something. I don't know. It's up to something. It's not alone. And so, you know, ants work together. And so we understand that we serve a working God. God saves us and puts us in a church, not just to be part of a church, not just to sit in a church, not just to belong to Bethel Baptist Church, but he puts us in that place so that we may serve him, we may work. God is a working God. God created the heaven and the earth, and he put Adam, he created Adam, put him in the heaven and in the earth, in the Garden of Eden, and he looked at him and said, you probably won't find your way through this thing. I need to put somebody else in here. And so here we see God creates Eve out of Adam's rib, of course, and puts them in the garden, and he says to them, dress it and keep it. We understand that God, and from that we see that with the task that was given to Adam, God said to him, look, you need a helper. You need somebody there with you, a help meet that is fit for you, and so that you can be able to do the work that you have been tasked to do. We understand that God understands teamwork, team effort, group effort, okay, working together. And so we see this from the very creation. Okay, so what do we gather? No man can be a choir on their own. No man can be, includes woman, a church on their own. No man can say, I'm going to be my own village. No man can be an economy. No man can be their own country. We understand that even society has placed us in a situation where we have to work together. So the Lord is saying this. He's saying, in case you forgot what you need to do or what you're supposed to be doing, take a look at the ant. Have you ever seen ants moving? They're usually moving in formation. I don't know who's leading, but somebody's leading, and here they go. I mean, I've tried to mess with ants, block them, pour water on them, burn them. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff, sprays that you can get in Africa. You know, it's not regulated, so we got some pretty illegal stuff. You get in there, and you just spray them away, and somehow those little things just seem to find, I don't know if they have 6 lives or 10 lives. I don't know what it is. They come back, and they follow. They find another way. They're always working together. And God says, look, feel like quitting? Look at the ant. Don't feel like waking up? Look at the ant. Don't feel like finding a place to serve in the church? Look at the ant. Amen. Don't feel like participating in something? Look at the ant. See, the ant is a work, is a workhorse, if you'd like, if you could put it that way. Okay? And so we understand. He says, consider her ways and be wise. So ants work together. A church ought to be like the ant. A church ought to work together. The saddest thing that I find, and when you're on the road and you're going from church to church, is when you get into a church and you see or you sense division. You sense people pulling in different directions. And it seems like, you know, people have got their own ideas about something. And and you just know that I don't know if this church, even if this church takes me on, I don't know how long they're going to be able to continue with their missions program. You see, a church is one unit, it's one body that works together. And getting to understand how God has placed us where he has placed us, each person unique in their own gifts and their own talents to bring forward the effective work of the body of Christ. Another thing about ants is this. Ants never quit. I mean, I already said this, but ants just don't quit. I mean, I've never seen an ant quit. I mean, I don't even know if that is even part of a definition when you're looking at an ant, but ants never quit. Ants are always going. You know, when you get in a society or you get in a church where people, you know, stop contributing or people don't give of themselves, as the churches in Thessalonica or the Macedonia, as the Apostle Paul speaks about, when people don't give of themselves, when people do not contribute, they do not give a part of them, you're going to find disunity, you're going to find people burnt out, you're going to find quitters. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, have you ever tried, if you've played sports, been on a team, and you get on there and somebody says, well, I don't see why we're playing so hard. We're going to lose anyway. You start wondering, man, you can just go sit down and not be part of this team, or you better show up. Man. You see, when we do not contribute, when we are not giving of ourselves, it promotes it. Listen, Satan is out there waiting to encourage the quitters to quit, because he knows that the more quitters I have at Bethel Baptist Church, the less they can do for missions, the less they can do church planning or even getting a gospel out. You know, I'm going to reduce their effectiveness in the planter. Ants never quit. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You see, the reasons why we don't contribute is neglect. We neglect. We say, you know what? Nah, I just don't think it matters. And we see in verse 10, it says, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to sleep. In verse 9, it says, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? How long will you continue sitting there with your hands folded saying, well, not for me. I mean, somebody else can do it. You're a team. And there are those guys out there that are giving 110%. They're giving, I don't know, 150%. They're tired. Hell yeah, you know, let them run. They're going to get burnt out. They're going to look back and they're going to say, what am I doing? Is this even worth it? And Satan's going, yeah, that's exactly what I want. I don't know if there's a young man in here who God is calling to preach. He might say, well, if that's what happens, come on. I gave my testimony. I struggled in accepting the call to go to Zambia as a missionary because I just couldn't understand why God was doing what he was doing. Do you know that all I needed was to see a preacher, a missionary, a Sunday school teacher quit, burn out, give up, and that would have been enough to sway me in a different direction, especially one in my church? We're a team. Now, you may think your presence here is not that valuable. I mean, yes, and I understand, as not everybody can do everything. We all have different gifts and different abilities to do different things. But you know that your preacher here is encouraged. Now, I'm thinking your church is like every other church. You pretty much sit in the same spot most of the time, unless missionaries show up and they bump you off. When he gets up here, he knows where to look. And if your seat is empty, he's looking through those doors and wondering if you're going to come up. Well, he's up here. When you walk through, you saw it. He said, we don't point out people. But that's what happens. You get excited. Man. And you think you're not worth anything. Your presence here is just not worth it. Nobody's going to miss you or, you don't do anything. It's okay. Just being here is an encouragement. It's a boost of energy to keep going. Ants never quit. Ants keep going, and that's what we do. And I understand we've been through the pandemic, and things were a little different. But I thought about this text during the times when things were tough and I was fighting to just, should I just, everybody will understand. I mean, let's face it. I'm a missionary in Africa with young children. Yes, my wife too. I said, things are hot down here. I'm going back. You would totally understand. You'd say, man, it's one thing getting COVID in America. It's another thing getting COVID in Africa. Well, guess what? We did all get COVID in Africa. And we're sitting here. Not for any special reason or us being in any way better off than those that did not. But the Lord will keep you. The Lord will protect you. When you submit and surrender to his will, he will guard you. So don't quit. Look at what the scripture says about the ant. Back to verse 7. It says, which having no guide, okay, you can say the ant is self-motivated. All right. Then we go here, you say, overseer. We talk about initiative, looking at what needs to be done, just doing it. Or ruler. Of course, we understand what ruler is, but there are some people who will not do what they're supposed to do unless somebody's watching over them. That's the ant. Pastor may not be here, and it's wonderful to hear the pulpit is filled and all of that stuff. Look, but just because you know preacher's not here doesn't mean you don't show up for church. I know what goes on. You see, as a church, as a team, and I hate to use this word, but to get a better communication, there is an energy that I give out that motivates other people just by seeing me, by watching me sing, by, you know, whether it's working the nursery, it's a parking lot, it is in the kitchen, wherever it is, people see me and they have this, oh, okay, yes, that's good. And I had this talk with our men in Zambia, in Lusaka, and I said to them, I said, look, imagine, you know, this is what a missionary goes through, okay? Imagine your preacher being gone for 6 months. What happens? You just stop coming to church? What about the leaders in the church? Do we just not do what we're supposed to do because the preacher's not here to see it? What about the things that need to be done? Do we not do them because nobody said we're supposed to do it? He says, go to the ant. You see how more and more the church fits into this application of the ant? And this can be applied to life anywhere, but here we're talking about the church and our motivation to keep doing what we ought to do for the sake of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to get the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. And it takes every single person in this church to contribute, to be part of it. So this church can do even greater than you've ever done. But it takes every single person. Can you imagine the potential? I don't know. I have no insight. No inside information. Preacher hasn't talked to me about this or anything. About how much you're doing for missions. But can you imagine if every member of Bethel Baptist Church was able to contribute to their greatest potential? I mean, give of themselves in service, amen. Time, yes. Resources. If every single member were to say, I'm like preacher stood up here and said, are you singing the best you could ever sing? Now, same question. Are you doing or are you serving? Are you being the church member at the greatest potential you could possibly be? Nothing to do with how much biblical knowledge you have. Just you. As you are. Can you imagine how much and what this church can do? What kind of effect this church can have in the kingdom of God? That's the ant. That's the ant. That's what happens to the ant. The ant never quits. It keeps going. We also have to keep growing. We have to keep doing. We have to keep keeping on. We have to keep learning. It is what we must do. There's no time to sit back, take a break. Third thing we see is this. Ants gather for the bad times. ants gather for the bad times. That's very interesting. Verse 8, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Everybody knows that life is not just mountaintop experiences. Everybody knows that. If you didn't know, you know now, considering what we've gone through. There are high times, and there are low times. There are times of plenty, and there are times when you don't have that much. But when you compare America to Zambia, in Zambia, they look at you and they say, you have plenty all the time. But when we look at the ant, what does it do? It makes sure that its contribution, I'm going to use this word, counts for the bad times. Now, what am I saying? It stores up, it works hard and stores up, knowing that I don't know if there's going to be a fire. I don't know if there's going to be a flood. I don't know if the land is going to freeze over. I don't know if somebody's going to come here and try to build a house on top of this place. I have no idea, but I am going to make sure that when that time comes, I have made the contribution that counts. Now, what am I saying? Everybody has a gift. Everybody has something that God has given you that you can use in this church. There are people that walk into this place first time. Don't know anyone, looking around, wondering what's going on. And those people have people in here who are just the outgoing kind. You know, talk to everyone. It's not just the preacher. I'm not talking about the preacher. Okay, we're going to keep the preacher out of here, out of this. Okay, I mean, You find it easy to make friends. You can talk to somebody. I mean, you can get their whole life story in 5 minutes. And it's just something God has given you. And your name's not Gabby. I mean, I'm just kidding. But you get to understand that person is someone that is a valuable and necessary person, member of this church. You are that person. I'm not calling you by name specifically, but if you're that person, you have to say, you know what? I want to greet people. I want to make sure everybody feels welcome. I want to, you know what? There are churches who are praying, you know, we want the Lord to be able to help us to raise our giving for such and such. Or the Lord is, we're trying to do this, we're trying to buy a bus, we're trying to do this. The person that was supposed to help you buy a bus just walked in. And that's the day you decided, you know what, I don't feel going to church today. They won't miss me. They walk in here, and of course, Sundays are very busy. Preacher doesn't get to them. They decide, maybe we should look at another church. Yes, I understand that they're already saved. They're on the way to heaven. But the kids that were going to ride on the bus are not. Make your contribution count for the times when that necessity will be built up where you will need to expand ministry, to do different things, to, I don't know, have a church plant. I don't know what God has got in your path in the life of this church. Of course, we understand the biblical concept of that. But listen, make your contribution count. Because it's not always the buses are going to be running, the air conditioning is going to be working, the floors, the carpeting, whatever it is. It's not always, and we hope that's not the case, but, you know, preacher may not be able to come up and preach. You say, but, you know, we got a preacher. I don't need to study the Word of God. I don't really need to take that course. I don't really need to, well, he's there, so. Song leader. Nobody misses a song leader until it's not there. I'm telling you. You know, it's just one of those things. You get used to it. It comes up here. He leads you in a song. And you know what? Yeah. You know, he just comes up there, you know, talks and leads two songs. Yeah, it's not that important until he's not there. It's like, what are we going to do? I don't know. Piano player leaves. A piano player is a thing. You know, you either have too many or you have none. That's just the way it is. But I'm just giving you examples of how you can make your contribution count. You can equip your children, young people coming up. Equip them to say, you know what? I would like for you to be able to get this so that you can be able to help and you can be able to be a part of the ministry in this direction. That's what a parent is. You're training up your child, sending your child in a direction that God can be able to use them. Make your contribution count. In Zambia, we have a problem with there's an unemployment. There's a big unemployment problem. A lot of college graduates who are looking for jobs. So when a job comes, normally they will say, we're going to give you this job, but you're going to move 7 hours north. And there's no church there. There is nothing. I mean, they're not going to be in a church of like faith. I know that. But they're thinking, if I don't take this job, I will never have another job. And I normally will sit there with them and I will say to them, what's important? I know. But I need a job. I need to work. Yeah. But you'll be out of church or you might end up becoming a Pentecostal. What's important? We have a young man in the church. He got a job about 2 hours south of our church. And he said, Pastor, I know it's 2 hours south of here and there's no church there. I'm going to come every weekend. So he gets on a bus every weekend, comes to church. And after church, gets on that bus, goes back home. And I spoke to him and I said, what's important? He says, I need to be in church. And he's been doing this for over a year, praying that God will bring him back into the city. Because he wants to make his contribution count. He's not paid. America is so blessed. You may not feel like it, but when you come to Africa and you see the poverty, you see just the basic life that everybody just has. You start thinking of all the things that you have, and you realize how much God has blessed you with.
We have an opportunity to send out missionaries. We got to make that opportunity count. We have an opportunity to plant churches. Yes, I know there's a lot of churches, that Baptist churches that we passed. I don't know what kind of Baptist churches they are, but we passed a lot of Baptist churches, but we still need to plant more churches in America. We have an opportunity. Listen, if COVID taught you anything, I mean, it taught me that we are all even. That's pretty much what happened. I mean, it got in churches and different. I mean, it seemed as though some evangelical and whatever churches were just rushing off the big mega buildings and whatever they're doing and that they can't use anymore. You know, we ought to understand that it is time for us to go back to the basics, preaching the gospel, establishing independent Baptist churches, preach the gospel, train men that establish more churches right here in America. Because when that happens, that means there's more young men, young women, families that are being sent out of here to take the gospel out into the foreign lands where the people, as I said, don't have the resources. They don't have the means and the ability that an American missionary has in able to spread the gospel at a rapid pace or a bigger effort, if you'd like. I'm not saying that money is what determines that, but all that I'm saying is that with the help and the support and the knowledge that missionaries have, missionaries are more effective when it comes to church planning. Most of your pastors in Zambia, I would speak for Zambia, but I know that this is the case all over most Africa, third world countries. There's a struggle with how am I going to live? What am I going to eat? Well, we don't want to give the pastor too much money because then he'll have more money than us. And Satan is just discouraging most men who say, you know what, there's nothing. I just don't think this is what God wants me to do. I don't understand, but that just seems to be what is going on. There is this new movement called the prophetic movement. I don't know if you've heard about it, but there is a, you know, guys who have come out and claim to be prophets. Claim to, they're fortune tellers is what they are, and illusionists, magicians. But they're drawing crowds and telling people you're going to have a year of abundance, and if something's wrong with you, it's your mother-in-law. I'm serious. So you just make sure she doesn't come to your house. He goes home and says, honey, I don't want your mother in our yard. The reason I'm having problems is because of your mother. Tearing up families. A prophet. Anyways. And so these guys ask for money. They ask for stuff. And when they look at them, they have just lavish vehicles and lavish lives and all this stuff. And they look at that and they say, he's doing that. Why should I suffer? And most of them quit. Go become a teacher or something. There's yet a lot of work to do. Right. It's easy for us to get complacent because we pass a Baptist church every other corner and we think, oh, things are good. But people
are lost. In Zambia, there's a lot of people who are religious, faithful to their churches as there is here, but lost. Are you making every opportunity count in your service to the Lord, in your contribution, the giving of yourself to the Lord, in everything God has compelled you to do? Is it counting? Or has sin numbed our senses? Has selfish drive and self-pursuit numbed our senses? Has bitterness, because we didn't get or didn't work out the way we wanted or we don't like, has it numbed our senses? Do we have a prejudice like Noah? No, sir, not Noah, Jonah. Well, I just don't think are we making a contribution count? Someone said this, instead of neglecting what God has placed upon your heart, you have to fight that neglect and feed or nourish the values or the call or the work that God has called you to do. You see, the Lord is going to ask you, when you get to the judgment seat, I gave you salvation, grace, forgiveness, a wonderful church, my word, a family, a job, and a life in a good country. What did you do with it? What did you do for me? That's the moment the ant comes into play. Were you a sluggard? Were you just getting by? Or did you go to work? He has no overseer, has no guide, has no ruler, and yet he's out there, or she's out there, according to the scriptures, the ant, doing what must be done. The harvest is plenteous, is ready, fields are white, to harvest, laborers are needed. And those laborers are right here. Let's pray.